This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, for our Tuesday growth and development discussion. And the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Biscuit Run, the largest planned development, the largest neighborhood in the history of Albemarle County. Over 3,200 homes on, what is it? 1 acre? Is it down to an acre?
800 and something acres.
800 acres, less than 1,000 acres, over 3,000 homes, immediately south of the city line, filling in all that space between Avon Extended and Old Lynchburg Road. A massive, massive development. The big news is that the Planning Commission voted unanimously no, it's not ready yet. They sent it to the Board of Supervisors. And you were there, my friend.
Well, I left. I was on the air last with you 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago today.
Because, of course, I was at Disney. And 2 weeks ago was when this was in front of the Planning Commission for the public hearing. And one of the good things I want to report, when I was on the radio, I was pointing out that with Albemarle Place, very few members of the public came out and spoke for or against, you know, Albemarle Place. And when it was in front of the Planning Commission, there were probably let's see, 20. I have in my notes here 20.
When Biscuit Run was?
When Biscuit Run was in front of the Planning Commission 2 weeks ago, 27 people came and spoke in the public hearing.
That's pretty good.
So that's a good turnout.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there was a good turnout for North Point. So this is definitely on the public's mind. People are showing up, and they want the decision makers to know that they're paying attention to these projects. So Biscuit
As
Run.
As it should be.
Biscuit Run, at the end of the night, after 6 hours of talking and what really became a work session and not a public hearing, the Planning Commission recommended denial to the Board of Supervisors.
Unanimously. Yeah. That was a huge vote.
And there were some big outstanding issues, and the developer really sort of forced the vote at the end of the evening. And because they asked him twice, do you want a deferral? There's a lot of unfinished business. Do you want to defer this? And at the end of the night, Steve Blaine, representing the applicant, said, no, we'd just as soon you go ahead and vote on it. We think you have what you need. And these other things you're concerned about, we, you know, commit to working out with the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
Once it gets there.
They took a shot, see if they could get it to the next level, where they would work with the Board of Supervisors. But then what happened?
And I thought this would all, you know, be settled down while I was on vacation. And then I get some email last week that, no, the Board of Supervisors had gotten word that the developer had a change of heart, and they were asking to have it taken back to the Planning Commission. So the Board of Supervisors unanimously last Wednesday referred it back to the Planning Commission. Just to contrast, you know, North Point was a project that the Planning Commission voted on, and they recommended denial on that project. This is the one up
north. Yeah, remind folks what that is.
North of 29, just past Airport Road.
That off one, to the right, over there.
Off to the right, above 84 Lumber.
Yeah.
And that one has been approved, but when it was first in front of local government, the Planning Commission recommended against it. Then it went to the Board of Supervisors, who reviewed it for years. So it's a bit unusual for the next big one in the pipeline in Biscuit Run to be quickly sent back to the Planning Commission.
And explain the process to us. What does this mean exactly for Biscuit Run?
Well, the timeline's not real clear. The next work session is tentatively scheduled for the end of May. So that'll be the next time the Planning Commission gets to talk about this again. And they are expecting a complete new submittal. So that means the developer's got some work to do to answer a lot of these questions, get them information about sewer capacity, about transportation, the schools, the infrastructure, and help them, you know, come to a decision again.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, you had a question?
Yes. Will Biscuit Run be on city water?
What a great question.
It will be on public water, and that's shared by the city and the county. It's water is provided by the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, which has two customers, the City of Charlottesville and the Albemarle County Service Authority. So the people living in Biscuit Run, since that's a county development, will all be customers of the Albemarle County Service Authority. So it will need public water. The the growth that will be placed on and the growing demand on the water system is going to be addressed in the community's 50-year water supply plan. So there is a plan in place to bring the necessary, you know, input to the system, the necessary water. Now what we're worried about is the sewer side of the equation.
Well, that was my next question.
Yeah, mine too.
So as people flush
over 3,000,
a lot of flushing.
Yeah, well, when you have 3,100 homes, there will be a lot of flushing going on, and that's the concern. There are two what are called interceptors or pipes. There are two pipes involved. One which will service the immediate area around the development, and it sounds like that one will need to be upgraded. And the developer has said they're willing to foot the bill for some of that, and or all of that. And then on the next one downstream, as it gets into what's called the Moores Creek interceptor, which is heading into the treatment plant, the developer's going to be asked, I believe, to pay for their fair share of the upgrade required there. The answer, you know, how much infrastructure is required is not clear yet. And what we heard at that meeting, and there's a video of this discussion about sewer up on our blog at seavilletomorrow.org. If you click on the web blog and look for the Biscuit Run postings, you can watch a video of this discussion. And for about a half hour, I think they talked about sewer capacity issues. So there are a lot of questions remaining. That's something the Planning Commission will certainly spend some time on.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
Caller, what's your thoughts on Biscuit Run?
It's really going to change Charlottesville, that's for sure.
You think so?
I think so.
For the good or ill?
For the ill.
Because just too many people?
Oh, traffic, and yes. And all the demand on the services?
Yeah.
People are going to want to, if they're going to be putting so much residential in there, I wonder how much commercial is going to go in there too.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's not a lot of commercial in Biscuit Run. That is one of the reasons overall this development has a negative fiscal impact on the county. If it had more commercial, like a North Point development or a Hollymead Town Center, then you tend to see a positive fiscal impact because of the tax revenues from
because you get a lot more money revenue generated out of a big commercial mall or something
right.
than you do out of a neighborhood.
Well, out of a neighborhood, you get typically children going to school
who need to be educated,
who are expensive.
Yeah,
and the tax dollars that we pay for property taxes doesn't begin to cover the cost of sending a child to school. So the thing I guess I would just ask the public to keep in mind is that Biscuit Run's located in the county's designated growth areas. One of the designated growth areas. So that's an area that has long been targeted for this type of growth. And I think what we need to do as a community is make sure that we have, as many positives as possible coming out of a development like this and as few negatives as possible. New development should not lead to new problems. And that's really the heart of the discussion taking
place
right
now. That is the challenge, yeah.
Isn't there still a lot of open land over there?
Oh, sure there is. Right now it's zoned rural area, and it's a big farm. But it is all, mostly this 828 acres is within the growth area. So, it was not intended to always be a farm. Now there are further, what we want is a sharp edge between these designated growth areas, the city and this ring around the city. And then when you hit the rural area, the county's comprehensive plan says, let's try to keep that open. Let's try to keep the farms out there. And so south of Biscuit Run, heading towards Scottsville, will, remain rural countryside.
But, Brian, you've got thousands of families down there who would live there. And with no more commercial development, they're going to have to drive through and around the city to get to 29 North to shop.
That's right. We're talking about 30,000 vehicle trips a day is what the traffic study is saying will happen out of Biscuit Run. It'll hit three main roads, Avon Street, Route 20, and Old Lynchburg Road turns into Fifth Street heading into the city. Not only, Coy, will they be looking for commercial services, but they'll also be looking for their jobs. So when they make their commute to work, it's, as you said, it's going to be into the University of Virginia and into the city.
Well, isn't there, there was that huge development that was proposed for Scottsville in the middle of Scottsville there too, wasn't there?
Yeah. I don't remember the details of that one. I do recall the town of Scottsville was looking at a residential development. But compared to the scale of what we're talking about up here at Biscuit Run, it doesn't even compare to what's going on down in Scottsville.
Biscuit Run, folks should know, it's huge.
It's 3,100 homes.
It's huge.
By comparison, if you took all of Forest Lakes, Hollymead, that's about 1,800 homes today.
So the 3,000 homes would equal how many people?
Well, you put a multiplier of about 2.5 or 2.4 on that.
Mm-hmm. Just to get a ballpark number, which is how many people?
Well, now you're going to make me do math.
3,200 times 2.5 is
7,000 or 8,000.
7,000 or 8,000 people.
Yep. Now, what is?
They don't all move in one weekend.
They don't. Yeah. And a development this size is going to take many, many years. You know, the developer is saying 20 years to build out. Let's look at Old Trail Village out in Crozet, a major development with, you know, a couple thousand homes there. And it's being very slow because of the market. It's already been approved, but the market's not there for all this housing.
Right, right.
So these things take time.
Caller, you had another question?
Well, I guess the only other question would be, where are all these jobs going to be coming from?
Right. Well, the biggest employer in town, of course, is the University of Virginia, and they are going out of their way right now to say that they are not growing. They are doing about $1 billion worth of new projects, but when I watch their presentations, they're saying we are only upgrading facilities for existing staff, and we're only going to add about 150 students a year. So the university is not looking at explosive growth, at least in their public presentations.
They're sort of leveling off right now.
They're going to add students, but they're saying they're not going to add a lot of faculty.
Yeah.
Now, the research parks may be different, and certainly if they can attract a lot of customers into the Fontaine Research Park and into the North Fork Research Park, that would be one area for growth in our community. The other big employer that's growing, of course, is the National Ground Intelligence Center, which is located up 29 North. But frankly, I think if those people are going to be relocating here, they're going to want to live as close to that as possible.
They're not going to want to live down in Biscuit Run and then drive all the way up 29 to work.
So they're going to find North Point and Hollymead Town Center, Albemarle Place, and Greene County a lot more attractive.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, joins us every Tuesday to talk growth and development. Caller, thank you so much for your input. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and he joins us in studio on Tuesdays to talk growth and development. Let us segue perhaps from the largest development in the history of Albemarle County.
You love saying that, don't
I do.
You?
It is. It's massive, and I'm not saying I'm against it. If they can figure out a way to make this work, I'm all for it.
You're going to say it's visible from space next.
Yeah. It's a lot of jobs. It's a lot of home build. I mean, there's a lot of – it's good. It's good if we can figure out a way all the way around to make it good. But there's a lot of good stuff, a lot of good parts there that I would like us see it have an opportunity to enjoy.
And what Charlottesville Tomorrow is about is getting quality growth. We're going to grow, so let's make sure we do it in a way that preserves our quality of life. And that's a lot of what I'm trying to do is get these issues all out on the table so the public can make informed choices about them and we can get the best information in front of these decision makers to make sure it's a quality development.
And that people have the tools they need to participate in this.
Yeah,
you know, that they can know when the meetings are and they can go and speak out and share their view, whether you're for it or against it. It doesn't matter. You need to speak up.
Yep.
Let's segue from Biscuit Run over to this whole idea of a new law that Governor Kane amended a bill. Tell us about this, Brian, because this has a huge impact here in Albemarle County.
It does, potentially, and we'll talk about that. The General Assembly, of course, everyone knows, was focused very hard on a transportation compromise. How are we going to fund transportation in Virginia? And we have a Republican-controlled General Assembly, a Democratic governor, and they were sort of, you know, at odds throughout the last session. You've had lots of members of the local delegation on the radio talking about that. And in the end, you know, they passed a transportation bill. It's called House Bill 3202, or now going by the name, the Transportation Funding and Reform Act
of
2007. So they passed a big bill to fund some transportation needs in Virginia, and they handed that to the governor. And again, while I was on spring break, you know, nobody takes a break here, the governor went in and tinkered with that bill, and that's ruffled some feathers around the state. But one of the things he did was tweak it to enable what are called impact fees to be used in a locality like Albemarle County.
And what is an impact fee? That Albemarle County now, or as of when the law takes effect on, what is it, July 1st? July 1st, Albemarle County will then have a tool in its local development package that it does not currently have.
That's right. There are two kinds of impact fees that are in this legislation. One is that I won't talk about because it doesn't apply to Albemarle, is just sort of a general impact fee that could be levied in a urban a more urban setting, a bigger locality. And Albemarle is not going to qualify for that. So let's talk about the other one, which is a road impact fee or transportation impact fee. That's what the governor broadened and put some different language in there. And an impact fee is just a way for a locality to cover the cost related to new development, the cost for infrastructure, in this case, roads. That was a big component of the Biscuit Run project. VDOT came forward and said, if you're going to build Biscuit Run, it's going to cost us $80 million to upgrade three roads around Biscuit Run.
To handle all those 30,000 additional car trips a day.
So they, VDOT, took an unusual position. They put a pretty steep price tag on this development, and they said, you know, that's what the impact's going to be. Now, I want to differentiate quickly here because I'm pointing that out as an example of an infrastructure cost, but typically impact fees wouldn't apply at a Biscuit Run. And the reason is Biscuit Run is a rezoning request which delivers proffers. We've talked about proffers. Proffers is the other thing. There's impact fees and there's proffers. Proffers are a way for a developer to sort of negotiate what they're willing to bring to the table. And certainly with Biscuit Run, they're proffering lots of improvements, a school site, some money for roads, etc. Impact fees are something that can be used for a by-right development. So think about the rural countryside in Albemarle County, not places where we're designating growth, but where somebody could still sell a farm and put in a neighborhood. And if they do that, if it's a by-right development, if the zoning allows them to build that neighborhood, the county can't ask the person building that neighborhood for anything.
No, you can't ask for a proffer in
that
case.
They have the right to do it. So there are no proffers for by-right development. So an impact fee is a way for by-right developments to contribute to the cost of infrastructure. And Albemarle has never had the ability to use those. They've asked for it year after year after year. In this case, Governor Kane went in and changed the legislation and added that component, broadened the definition, and now Albemarle County, because of our population, because of our growth rate since the last the 2000 census, we would be eligible. City of Charlottesville would not, but Albemarle County would be eligible for these road impact fees.
And it was also 67 localities across the Commonwealth will benefit from this new tool, including Albemarle County, Culpeper, Fauquier, Greene, yeah. Louisa, Orange. A lot of these places where we're seeing this incredible explosive growth.
That's right. And again, it is not to be confused with what would happen in a designated growth area, but think about development in the rural countryside. In Albemarle County, we've been adding about 300 housing units a year out in the countryside.
Not in the growth area.
Not in the growth area.
Wow.
And this would be a way for Albemarle County to recover some of the cost of doing that. You know, think about the people. A lot of people have been concerned about the tax rate and how much government is costing.
Rightly so, let me add.
And I would say to the public, you know, think about the cost of development happening in places where we don't want it. So the county's comprehensive plan and everyone on the Board of Supervisors unanimously, they would say we want growth to happen in the growth areas, not in the countryside. That when it happens in the countryside, it's more expensive. It's more expensive for roads. It's more expensive to get rescue service out there. It's more expensive to build schools in places where you don't have the infrastructure and the nexus of the population. So,
and the rest of us pick up those costs if the developer doesn't chip in something.
That's right.
I mean, it's as simple as that. It's a no-brainer. We all pay for that. We're all going to pay in increased taxes to cover the costs of a Biscuit Run or for anything unless we figure out a way for the development to not necessarily pay for itself, but to figure out a different way to do it.
Now, the Home Builders Association is not too happy about Governor Kane's amendments to this law because they would...
To put it mildly.
They're pointing out that they never had a chance to weigh in on this. It was never in front of the General Assembly in one of the committees where the lobbyists could all come in and say...
Influence
what,
that decision.
...what they thought about that.
Yeah.
So the home builders, at least at the state level, have already said they're going to fight this tooth and nail because they're frustrated. Now the battle has moved from one room where they've been pretty effective down in Richmond to, as you said, 67 localities across the state. So this enabling legislation allows Albemarle County to set in motion having impact fees. It will not happen quickly. There's a lot of things they have to check off to get this in place. It requires a new ordinance, public hearings. It requires a whole new road plan and a list of priorities.
So the home building lobby is going to have a presence at these public hearings, at these in Albemarle County,
I assume,
for example.
So. And we have a local, I don't know if it's called a chapter, but we have the Blue Ridge Home Builders Association. I've not heard from them, and I don't know what their position is on this, so I'm not going to speak to that. But yeah, if let's say that all the home builders associations in Virginia wanted to fight it, then they would activate each of their local groups to come and talk about this. So the reason, Coy, they are upset about it is they feel like it's passing the cost onto the developer. And then they would say the developer is not going to eat that cost. They're going to pass it on to the home buyer. And that's just going to inflate the cost of housing.
And that's what they always say. But can we get any more inflated? Is it possible? I mean, and I've said this before, they're not going to charge $1 trillion for a home so they can recoup costs. They're going to charge a market value. They're going to charge what the market can bear for a home.
Yep.
So, I mean, is it an empty threat? Part of me thinks that that's an empty threat.
Well,
because, yes, developer, you want to make as much money as you can, and you should as a businessman or a business person, but you're not going to price your homes out of the market.
Yep.
Because you won't sell them otherwise.
You know, I think one of the things that's important about what Albemarle County is doing in the city of Charlottesville is looking for those affordable living choices and creating the affordable housing incentives for these developers who definitely, the local developers here, want to contribute to a solution to that problem. The problem as I see it right now is we've got 600 or 700 houses that have been proffered by developers that are supposed to be affordable, and none of them have been built yet. So we have this huge pipeline of housing that's been approved, but we're not getting the affordable units built. If we can get those built, and as you said, if the market dictates, you know, what the cost of all this housing is, hopefully we have then a good balance, and we have different housing types for different families and different incomes.
Brian Wheeler with Charlottesville Tomorrow joins us every Tuesday. What's the latest with the Hollymead Town Center? That old stone house is gone, and we got a call from a woman who said her husband used to live in that house and that they tore it down.
Yeah, well, you know, when they graded Hollymead Town Center, did the big leveling out there to get ready for the Target and Harris Teeter, the stone house was sort of hidden behind this big dirt berm, so you couldn't see it from 29 anymore. But I was under the impression Wendell Wood, the developer, was going to relocate that stone house.
Yeah, we had heard at one time that it was going to be moved.
I don't know if it's been demolished or moved or what has put in a box or what.
Yeah, and it's an unconfirmed. We should underscore the fact that it's an unconfirmed report that it has been torn down. It could have been moved. I mean, I don't know.
But again, while I was on spring break last week, the Planning Commission kept busy. And one of the things they did was approve what's called Hollymead Town Center Area A1.
What's that?
Which is basically that big pile of dirt on the left as you drive in. So if you were pulling into the Harris Teeter at that entrance of the Hollymead Town Center, it's everything on the left,
okay,
but not far back.
Everything on the left up to the woods or beyond?
Everything on the left going down to the woods and against 29. So that is going to be more parking lots and retail.
Oh, so they're extending
the
mall.
No residential there.
Okay, so they're extending the mall over there.
That's
I thought
right.
That was going to be apartment buildings over there.
That's behind. That's further back. So if you pulled in on that Harris Teeter Road and kept going straight into that, that's called Area A2, and that's going to be...
That's up behind the Harris Teeter where there are
right.
apartment buildings and townhouses.
That's right. Yep. And there was a little article in the Seaville Weekly this week about a little stairway in the Hollymead Town Center that's going up to that future development. But anyway, Area A1 is going to be all retail. It's about 278,000 square feet of office and commercial space.
Give me a comparison.
31 acres. A big store like the Target or the Harris Teeter might be 100, 125,000
square feet. So it's basically another anchor. With the little strip malls on either side.
One big box. I'm looking at the drawing here. One big box and a bunch of two medium boxes and then lots of little boxes.
What's the big box going to be? Do we know?
I don't know if it's got a tenant targeted for that.
Is it a Home Depot?
I do not know.
Because I'm a Home Depot guy.
I have no info on that. I know you want, but you want your Home Depot south of town.
Well, you said they're going to build one down there.
Yeah, well, they're talking
about
Avon Street between Avon and 5th, Avon Center. That development behind the Hardee's.
When's that going to happen?
That's still in discussions.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, were there any proffers for Hollymead Town Center?
There were some. Unfortunately, most of them relate to past traffic studies and not the current, what I would call, best thinking about the needs for the 29 North Corridor. As you know, Places 29 is the master plan that's currently under review for 29 North. that has identified five or six what are called grade-separated interchanges or overpasses, which would elevate, you know, the cross streets so that traffic on 29 can flow without traffic lights.
Yeah.
And two or three of them are going to be needed right around Hollymead Town Center.
Did the developer put up any proffers for these overpasses?
And there are no
proffers
for that.
None.
So that's an opportunity missed, I think. Unfortunately, you know, I talked to staff about this, and their position was, well, Places 29 hasn't been approved yet. We don't have something we can hang our hat on and say, you know, Board of Supervisors accept a proffer for this specific project. You know, I would like to think they could be more open-ended in accepting funds for this infrastructure, because we know it's going to be needed. It's going to be needed in front of Albemarle Place to get a grade-separated interchange for hydraulic and 29. You know, a lot of traffic is going to be put on the road. North Point is going to add 30,000 vehicle trips a day.
And there's going to be all those new homes behind the Harris Teeter at the Hollymead Town Center. That's going to be a huge neighborhood up there behind that as well.
So there are proffers, you know, I think, and enough in the way of proffers to make staff recommend approval. But no, those big ticket items were not in the cards at this point.
We don't have enough time to talk about the city council elections
this week. It's getting exciting.
But really quick, 30 seconds.
We have three candidates for city council declaring this week. Linda Seaman yesterday. Two more candidates are announcing this week, tomorrow, as a matter of fact, or Thursday. I can't remember which day. But anyway, the coverage will be on Charlottesville Tomorrow's website, SeavilleTomorrow.org.
And Seaville Tomorrow, y'all do the...
we do nonpartisan coverage of all city council and Board of Supervisor
elections. And you'll be rolling that stuff out through the campaign season.
Absolutely.
Informing voters of who these people are and right. What are their issues and what are their responses to these.
Podcast videos and more.
There you go. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Have a great night.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.